Well, if you'll open your Bible to page 878, I want to talk to you today about something that sounds like it's going to be boring, but it's not. How to know God's will. So, oh, my gracious. He's talking about how do you know you're going to be a minister, a missionary, or whatever. No. Well, that's true, but it's more than that, you know. You say, well, you know, I'm already where I am in life. I am what I am. Well, good. But this whole matter about God's will. Now, first of all, I'm not certain, really. This is real honest conviction. I'm really not very convinced, I'll say it that way, that as many Christian people as I would hope would really believe that there is such a thing as God having a will, a purpose for people's lives. And I say that based on looking how people live. When you look how people live, you just have to conclude, look, maybe the idea out here is that we are all here. We were born, and we are what we are, and we'll just do what we do, and, you know, the Lord will help us one way or another. Well, you know, I believe firmly that God has a will for our lives. I'll tell you one reason I believe that. Don't lose your place on page 878. But if you turn back, just put your hand. That's what I'm going to do with my Bible. Turn back to page 853. Turn back to page 853, and you will be in Matthew chapter number 6. We'll go back here in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, you're familiar with the model prayer where Jesus taught the disciples. You know, they said, teach us to pray. John the Baptist's disciples know how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And we all used to say this, most of us, when we were growing up in school, you know, every morning we would have a prayer and we'd pledge allegiance to the flag. And we, many times we'd say this model prayer. But you're familiar with it, but let me show you something in it. It's in verse 9. He said, here's how you pray. You pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, Jesus would not have taught the disciples that you should pray that God's will be done if God had no will to be done. So he modeled it here in the model prayer. Now, go back where you put your hand, find your hand, and you'll be back on page 878, I hope. And we're going to look today at another place about this matter of you know, this is the will of God. I know as a boy growing up, that's right, I was in church. My parents were in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, anytime the church door opened. That doesn't mean I was a perfect boy. I was not. But we went to church. And I remember, even now as a boy, little boy, the preacher would so oftentimes be preaching about whatever, and you know, it's all children. I'd tune him in, tune him out. But that doesn't quit when you grow up either, does it? You know, people tune in, tune out. I understand that. But I'd hear him say something from time to time. Now, I believe, he'd tell the church, I believe such and such is the will of God. And he would encourage the people. And as a boy, I would just ask myself, now, I wonder how he knows that. Like, and then I just thought, well, I just guess preachers know that. I mean, I'm a kid growing up. You know, children listen more than we sometimes think. And I just thought, well, I guess if you're a minister, you're a pastor of the church, and, you know, God tells you what the will is, and you just tell the people what the will is. I didn't know how it worked. Well, be that as it may, it's one of the most important things in life, because it's not just like what we're going to do with our vocation. Like, God has a plan and a purpose. Back in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, we can go back and read. It says God has a plan for our life, for good things, not evil things, etc. So, you know, when we're living life, this is what I believe firmly. We need to know what God wants us to do about every decision that we make. Really. It's not just about God. Am I going to, you know, be a missionary? Am I going to be? No. Well, you know, like, God, should I buy this? Should I go here? Should I do that? You say, well, you're just really out on the deep end. No, I don't think I'm out on the deep end at all. I just, God's my Heavenly Father. God's your Heavenly Father. And as our Heavenly Father, He wants the best for His children, and the best for His children to be that we would live our life doing the things, deciding the things, and et cetera, that would be what He would want us to do. Maybe if, say, God's will is too much, it's what God wants us to do, what God has planned for us to do, which will be the very best for us. Now, a good example of this matter of God's will, what is the Heavenly Father's will, is in Matthew in chapter number 26. And, you know, of course, we're not to Easter, but we're heading that way. But this scripture reading about the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, it's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, a little different in John, but yet some really good information in John. But we'll look at it in Matthew chapter 26 in verse 36. It says, Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, the Garden of Gethsemane. Many of you have been there. I'm looking forward, God willing, in 2018, not this year, but next year, going back. This is one of my absolute favorite places. And He said to His disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. Then Jesus took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Now, Luke, if we turned over in Luke's gospel, in Mark's gospel, he tells us James and John. Well, we know who these two sons are, but we read, let me take time out a moment and say, when you're reading these gospel stories, it's such a helpful thing if it's recorded in more than one gospel, is to read that. Some are in all four gospels. Some are in three. Some are in two. But each gospel writer will give you some information. It puts it together, makes it more complete. Well, time back in. He took with Him Peter and James and John and began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then Jesus said to them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with Me. Pray with Me is what He said. He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, now here it comes, not as I will, but as You will. Now, Jesus is the God-man. He's all man, but He's all God. Now, the human part of Jesus, His humanity, had a will. And He said, look, My will is that this wouldn't be. But it's not the main thing in my life. The main thing, God, is Your will. Then He came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, What could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Then verse 42, a second time Jesus went away, prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if this cup cannot pass away from Me unless I drink it, Your will be done. There it is again. There it is again. We'll stop our reading at that point because of time. But I want you to get the picture. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane is struggling whether it would be what He wanted to do or what God had planned for Him to do. Now, with that said, I want to share with you today something that I think would be very, very helpful about how we can actually know the will of God in very practical things, in very practical things. And what I'm going to share comes out of one of Dr. Kendall's books. It's really a devotional. It's just a one-page devotional on a way he suggests that we go about knowing what the will of God is. Now, the fact of the matter is there are numbers of things in the Bible. We just know in the Bible that would be the will of God. For example, the Bible tells us it's the will of God for our sanctification, that we grow in our Christian life. It says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. The Bible says it's the will of God that we be a thankful people. And the Bible says it's the will of God that people be saved. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in the Bible, there are verses that just clearly say, for this is the will of God, or it is the will of God this, it's the will of God that. But in daily life, like, there aren't any verses on a lot of practical everyday things we do. So how do you know the will of God? Well, Dr. Kendall suggests that we take the word peace, P-E-A-C-E, and make an acrostic using that word. So you just, in your mind, you know how to spell peace, P-E-A-C-E. And he suggests some things that I have found to be very, very helpful. For the letter P, he says, ask yourself, you know, is something that you're trying to decide over, is it providential? And by providential, he says, as you pray for God's will, whether you do this or that, ask yourself, you know, is this thing like falling in place? You've been praying about something. You've been asking God about something. Do you see this thing? It just kind of happens. You've prayed about it. You've saw what God wanted in it. You've done the best you know to do. Well, that is very much a sign that that is the will of God. Now, I had an experience as recent as last week where this really helped me. I was dealing with a situation that could have ended not good. You know, I was going to deal with someone about something that it was kind of a no-winner. Have you ever had one of those deals? But with God, all things are possible. Now, wouldn't we agree with that? But I had sought the Lord, and what I really felt like was the right thing. I'd sought some counsel from two or three people that I felt that I could rely upon to have some information in their own mind about what I was dealing with, and that would offer me what they really felt like would be their opinion of what they thought the solution would be. And so, you know, Bible says it's wisdom and counsel. But, you know, after I'd done all that, I couldn't deal with this thing till I had a peace that I felt confident that what I was going to do was the will of the Lord, because I didn't want to do anything to harm a relationship, and I wanted to do the right thing. Well, the end of the story, right in the very middle of our meeting with this person, it just all started falling in place. Even before I ever got to what could have created a problem, the thing solved itself. Have you ever had a deal like that? Are y'all dead? If you ever, you don't have many of these. I mean, I'm just so excited. I thought, you know, and as I moved on to say what I had to say, I thought, man, this thing's just, it's just worked out. God's obviously been dealing on both ends here. So I think what Kendall is saying is right. You know, if you're trying to make a piece of a puzzle fit and you decide you need to get a sledgehammer and do that to it, that piece probably doesn't go there. Could I have an amen to that? You know, little George Jr. loves puzzles. I don't like puzzles because I'm not good at them. Like, he works 500-piece puzzles. I can't do a 10-piece puzzle. And he just thrives on these things. And, you know, I'll be over there trying to put it. He's, no, Pop, that's not where it goes. No. He just can make the pieces fit. Well, I'm just saying in life, one of the ways you know something's the will of God, you've sought Scripture about it, but you say there's no verse pertaining to this specific thing, okay? Well, you pray about it, and you really come to a point where you have, I believe it's to be the will of God. And I'm saying many times, just providentially, it will work out. Now, that's just a last week's example, but let me move on quickly beyond that. Now, the word peace, P-E. So what is old Dr. Kendall, I like what he had for his E. He said, the enemy. Remember the enemy. He says, when you're trying to know God's will, don't forget the devil. If what you think to be God's will would please the devil, be assured it's not God's will. Or if what you're trying to do would displease the devil, be almost absolutely assured that that thing is not the will of God. If it is the will of God, if it displeases the devil, it'll please God and it'll be the will of God. So, you know, that solves a lot of things. You know, should I go here? Should I go there? Should I do this? Should I do that? Well, you know, is that something God would be pleased with? Say, well, boy, you're just about to meddle. No, I'm just talking to myself. You know, you'll just have to wear your own shoes. But it does solve a lot of problems. I mean, if I'm going to go somewhere, and by being there, I think, you know, this might not be what God, you know, this may displease God, then I just about can guarantee that's not God's will. And a rule of thumb, you know, a lot of times teenagers, well, they used to ask me questions. Now they don't ask me anything. They think I'm so old, they ask John. and he doesn't know. He comes nice to me, and I tell him, and he tell. But anyway, that, you know, but that's not true. I say, you know, this has been a good rule. I don't know. I think my mother taught me this rule. If in doubt, don't. I don't think there's a verse in the Bible that says that. If in doubt, don't. That's a pretty good rule. If you're struggling over something, you know, good illustration of that would be sometimes, boy, I better be careful how I tell this. Dottie will, like, put on something to maybe go to church. And she said, "You think this is something I ought to wear to church?" And I said, "Well, the fact you even asked the question, the answer is probably no." Of course, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I've got to stay. I got to live with it. You know, I said, "Well, I think it'd be." But like, you know, if you're having to wonder, ought I do something? You probably just need to let that thing go. So, you know, that's now on the word authority, P-E-A. He used the word authority for the A. What does the Bible say about what you're trying to do? And sometimes that will answer the question. You know, really. The Ten Commandments covers just about the whole gamut, you know. They really does. Ten Commandments just about covers the whole gamut. And so, you know, the Scripture says anything about it, and that won't always answer the question. Now, confidence, P-E-A-C-E, it says when you're in the will of God, it will increase your confidence, and you'll lack confidence. You know, the Bible says, "Let the peace of God rule your heart." You know, that's so true. If I don't have a peace in my heart about something, it doesn't mean necessarily that is not the will of God. It just means at this moment, I better let that be a caution light. I had a man tell me long years ago, a layman who owned the largest Ford automobile dealership in America. It was in Atlanta, Georgia. His name was Beaudry Ford. That man's name is Harmon Bourne, B-O-R-N. And he was the chairman of a pulpit committee that dealt with me long years ago when I was in East Texas about coming to be the pastor of the church where he was a member. And he said to me, we were trying to work through that process, and he said, "You know, I have a philosophy on making decisions." Well, I perked up. Knowing he was a very successful businessman, I thought, well, I want to. He said, "Here's how I make decisions. I've held on to this all these years. I've shared it with other people that we deal with about employment." He said, "As long as I have a green light, I keep moving forward. But," he said, "if I get a caution light, that doesn't mean I'm going to not do that. It just means I'm going to stop till I deal with whatever I have to deal with. And then if I get the light to turn back green, I move on. If I can't work the deal out on the caution light, I just don't go any farther." You know, that's a pretty good deal. And you see, as long as you've got a green light, you feel a peace, you feel at ease. And it's not always an easy thing to do. And then his word for E is ease. You know, if you're at ease, you have an inner peace. I'll give you another good example. You won't care about it really, but I mean, we didn't take up an offering anyway, so what's it? My car, you know, I mean, it's our car, but like Dottie has a car, she calls it her car, and I have a car, and I call it my car. Well, in both cars, I mean, I think they're both in both of our names, like, I guess. My car is a 2007, and Dottie is telling me that it's 2017. Well, I know that. And she says, "Your car's 10 years old. You need to trade the car." I heard it again yesterday. She may be right, but like I don't have a peace about getting rid of the car. It's recent as yesterday. She said, "You need to get rid of this car." I said, "There's nothing wrong with my car. Why would I get rid of my car?" She said, "That's why you get rid of it, while there's nothing wrong with it." She may be right. I mean, a motor may fall out going down Fairmont. But the point is, like, I gotta have a peace. I've got, like, should we go here for a vacation? Should we buy this? Should we do that? Now, here's what I believe about all this. I believe, you don't have to agree with me. You can be wrong. That's okay. We love each other. I believe God cares about what we do in life. He wants what's best for us. And if we would seek to know His will. Now, you know, God made this afternoon just put in my heart, leave work immediately and go trade cars. I can guarantee you that won't happen this afternoon. But I do think this, whenever I do that, whenever that might be, I'll have a peace about it. You know, should you buy this house? Should you buy this house? Should you stay where you are? Should you move? I mean, we deal with all these things all the time. We were walking on our street earlier this morning. There are 14 houses on our street, 7 on one side and 7 on another. So this morning we was out walking. I said, Donnie, how many of these folks, how many original owners do we have on this street? Like that street was a brand new street when I moved on it. In fact, when I bought the lot, there was no street. And they put the street in, and there are 14 houses, and there are 9 of us still on the street that are original owners. Now, one of my neighbors told Dottie just right before this morning that she's going to have to move to Katy or wherever to live near her daughter. So we fixed it, so we're going to lose one of the original owners. So, you know, but like people are always trying to figure out what to do about this decision, that decision, should I do this, should I do that. Well, I'm telling you, this whole thing about involving God in it. Now, it really helps you to know God's will. I just want to encourage you. I'm not trying to get you to not trade cars or trade cars. That's not the deal. I'm just saying to you, listen, if you don't remember anything else about this, remember that God is for you. Do you believe that? Say amen. See, God's for us. I mean, it's not like God doesn't care. He is for us. He loves us so much, He let His Son die on the cross to pay for our sins. We say, oh man, I'm so glad. Now when I die, I can go to heaven if I've trusted Jesus. Well, truly do. But here's the deal. God wants us to know His will on the journey all the way. How much better my life would have been. It's been good as it is. I bless God for my life. But my life, if somehow back yonder long years ago, if somehow, and I don't know how I missed it, I could have understood that in every decision in life, I would have been wise indeed to have sought the Lord and made sure before I made that decision, this is God's will. Now, I did that on many things, and it's not easy. You know, I hear some people just talk about, you know, God just told me this and God told me that. I'm not questioning that. It's just that's not my experience. I struggled a year and a half, off and on, about coming to this church to be pastor. John knows that deal. And it was not because I was stubborn, yea, though I probably am. But I just had to know the best I can know, and I'll stop with this. Here's the best I know how to say it. And I've said this many, many times. As best I can understand, this seems to me to be the will of God for my life. I don't know that I, in all integrity, could ever just stand up before anybody and say, folks, let me tell y'all something. No doubt about it. Don't you even bat an eye. This is God's will. I think, to be totally honest, the best I can do is to say, after having sought the Lord, done everything, it's a struggle for me. But I can just say to people, folks, as best I can understand, and my church has heard me say that numerous times, as best I can understand, I truly believe this is God's will. Now, I'm not a perfect person, nor are you. I'm going to miss it sometimes, and so are you. But I tell you what, I'm not going to miss it, not trying to find it. Father, the mistake is to not even struggle to know Your will. Because, God, if we will know Your will and do it, the blessed will be. God, I'm glad I struggled off and on for a year and a half, because I had to know. Because, God, during these years down here, through some of the things we've been, the one thing that always kept me together, I had the conviction that You and Your will had sent me here to this place. And God, that works in every area. You know, it works in marriage. It works in relationships. It works in business deals. We just need to be able to say, as best I can know, this is God's will for my life. And Lord, when we know that, we'll be blessed. Now, bless each one here and thank You for them. In Jesus' name, amen.